This is WGTD FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today's program will be spent discussing the services and programs offered to adult learners through the Literacy Councils of Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. Today's guests are Lily Barrett, who has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in industrial relations. She volunteered as a tutor for the Walworth County Literacy Council and enjoyed it so much that she had joined the council as a staff member. Lily was born in Croatia and understands the challenges facing those learning a new language and those who need assistance in growing their literacy skills. Lily admires the dedication of their Literacy Council tutors and commitment to the learning of their students. Welcome to Education Matters, Lily.
Thank you, Karen.
Cheryl Hernandez has worked with the Kenosha Literacy Council for the past 12 years and has served as executive director for the past 5 years. Do I have those numbers correct, Cheryl?
I do.
During this time, Kenosha Literacy Council has seen tremendous growth. She works to ensure that the council provides innovative, research-based literacy programs and continues to strengthen its presence in the community. So thank you for coming, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me.
Stephen Massenden joined the Racine Literacy Council as executive director in 2015. The Racine Literacy Council over the past 3 years has expanded its programming and overall adult literacy footprint within Racine County. Stephen continues to bring awareness to the community about the Racine Literacy Council as an organization, as the organization addresses the seemingly invisible plight of adult literacy issues in Racine County. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
And we added just to the last few days, Marcia Conant has joined us. She is the Southeast Regional Consultant for the Wisconsin Literacy, an umbrella organization of more than 70 literacy programs statewide. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm excited to learn more about your role because I wasn't even aware that there was an umbrella organization.
Well, as long as these three people know it, that's the important thing.
That is the important thing. So I have a little preamble to our program, just because I think it's important for listeners to kind of get a context for this. So most of our listeners probably read something every hour of every day, and not just books or newspapers. Think about this for a moment. How often do you use your reading skills in a typical day? We read our electronic devices. We read food labels and recipes. We read traffic signs. We read manuals and directions for the equipment that we use at work. We read maps and charts and advertisements. We read money. We read checks. All kinds of things like that. So for a moment, just think about your day and maybe even just the last hour of your day. Imagine trying to get through that without being able to read. How would you figure out what to do? How would you learn to compensate? How would you figure out maybe how to hide the fact that you don't know how to read? That is the plight of over 30 million American adults, the number estimated to have been below basic literacy skills in the 2003 National Assessment of Adult Literacy. And I tried to find a more updated number, and I couldn't find one. So that was the last time we measured this. It's probably similar because I think as the population ages, there are fewer of those people who maybe never had a chance to attend school as youngsters. But I guess we'll find out. We'll talk more about this. So today we are going to discuss the programs from our listening area that are designed to assist adults who do not have the opportunity to master reading or English earlier in their lives. So I'd like to begin by asking each of you to describe your program, everything from locations to the structure of your services to the populations you serve. I'm going to start with Marcia so she can give us sort of an overall picture. Can you give us an overview of the work of Wisconsin Literacy Councils? Who do you serve? How many students do you serve? What kinds of needs do these students have?
And we don't serve students at all.
Right.
We serve literacy councils.
Mm-hmm.
My job as a Southeast Regional Consultant is to work with these folks that are here with us today, ways to make their programs more more useful to the students that they have, more engaging to the students that they would like to have. So we can help with curriculum, we can help with materials, we can help with finding them new tutors, working with them on recruitment and retention of students, of training board members. All of those things fall within the realm of what I do. And frankly, everyone around the table here does most of that really well. And I'm just here to support them and help them do it to the best of their ability.
Okay, so let's hear from each of the programs and learn a little bit more about what you do. So, Lily, you are based in Walworth County. Can you tell us about the adult literacy needs and services that you offer?
Yes, Karen, we are primarily a rural community. We have a high poverty level with a large immigration population. And many of the people that we serve, one of their major barriers is lack of transportation. We see a lot of many unskilled workers who face serious literacy challenges, ranging from being illiterate to needing to improve their English language skills. We also see a significant number of educated individuals in need of professional level English skills. Our volunteers are trained and they teach one-on-one in small group classes at libraries throughout the county. So this is where we address that barrier of lack of transportation. We make it very convenient for the students to meet in their town at their local library. Our services are also free. Walworth County Literacy Council, I'll refer to as WCLC for short, offers flexibility with time, location, and tutoring tailored to student needs, ranging from beginner to advanced ability. We also offer classes at the Walworth County Jail, where we tutor inmates for GED preparation. Some of our services include adult basic education, which is reading, writing, and math. A lot of our students utilize our services for English as a second language. We offer GED preparation, and we assist people in obtaining their citizenship, and recently we've seen a lot of those students. Our mission is to improve the quality of life to residents and to empower them to be productive and self-sufficient.
Okay, that's quite a lot of work that you're doing in Walworth County. So, Stephen, tell us about the services you offer in Racine and sort of the picture of the student needs.
I think what you're going to find is a lot of our services are very similar. Mm-hmm. A lot of the core services are similar. We primarily serve the low-income population, adults in Racine County. A large portion of that are immigrants as well. We have annually about 230 students that come through our doors, and right now we have about 115 to 120 volunteers, depending on the season. We provide adult basic education, English as a second language, or ELL learning. We have our student tutor entry program, which is pretty much a drop-in program. It's the initial phase of the literacy services we provide. We have driver's education, as well as commercial driver's licensing. We also offer citizenship classes. And again, we've also seen an increase in those numbers as of the last 2 years. We also offer a pre-GED program, and just recently, as of last fall, we offer a 509 High School Equivalency Diploma program, which is a joint collaboration between Gateway Technical College and the YWCA of southeastern Wisconsin. And this fall, and I'll be touching base with you, we're going to be working with the inmates at the Racine Jail. We used to have a program many years ago. It was prior to me coming on board. I don't know what happened, but we're trying to resuscitate that and get that started in the fall. And one of the other programs that we're working in conjunction with the Racine Unified School District is the LIFT program, which is a grant from them. And we'll also have the community schools, Knapp School in particular, will be working with the parents at that school. So basically trying to enrich the community, providing adult basic education services to those in need, and making sure that we have that quote-unquote employable workforce that we need in the community.
Okay. And Cheryl, tell us about services in Kenosha.
Sure. As Stephen mentioned, they're all very similar, right? So at the Kenosha Literacy Council, we served about 500 adult learners last year with the help of 200 volunteers. Our 500 students represented 40 different countries. About 80% of them come to the Literacy Council to improve their English, so they're working on English language skills. The other 20% are American-born English-speaking folks who are preparing to go into GED programs. We work very closely with the technical colleges so that our students are being referred to the adult basic education programs at Gateway, as well as coming to the Literacy Council. We have many similar programs, right? We have a drop-in tutoring program that happens multiple days a week at the Kenosha Literacy Council that offers kind of flexibility for students who are managing busy work and life schedules. We have one-on-one tutoring. We have an ELL civics program that helps adults who are working on kind of learning about the community while they're learning about English. We have a citizenship class. We do things that are focused on computers and workplace literacy and lots of really great things happening in those areas. If I didn't mention, we have a citizenship class. So just really lots of great things happening. We really try to focus on hands-on experiential learning, so we want our students to be out in the community interacting with the people that they're going to have to communicate with on a daily basis, and we want it to be as close to real life as we can and what they're actually going to encounter in their day-to-day lives.
So I know all of you work with volunteers, so I wonder how you also spread the word in your community so adult students know about your services. How do you find your students? Why don't we start with Cheryl this time?
How do we find our students? They just know about us and they come to us. So word of mouth is absolutely the best way that we find our students. So folks that have been in our program before tell other people, they tell family and friends, and then they come to the Literacy Council. So that's definitely the main way. But we also work really closely with other organizations in the community. I mentioned the Technical College before. We work with the public school system and other kind of community service organizations so that they know about us and that they can refer students to us who are in need. We do community events, and we always involve our current students in those activities. So we have a student advisory council, and they work to help promote our services for us. But when we go, say, to an open house at an elementary school, we'll bring our current students with us and help promote our programs that way. So we try to be out in the community and as visible as we can be.
So, Lily, does this sound like what you do in Walworth County, or how might it be different because of your more rural community?
A lot of it is similar, and I'm definitely taking notes. Cheryl's program has great ideas. WCLC has a strong relationship because of our rural environment with the Lakeshore's library system, which is comprised of 10 libraries. And our tutors and students meet there, and they also happen to find out about us through the brochures, through seeing a pair of tutor and student meeting, and the students will inquire, what's going on there? Is there something that I can join in on? So that works really well. Our office is also situated inside the Walworth County Job Center, which is on the campus of Gateway Technical College. So it's a really ideal environment for joining with the Job Center population, the students that are currently at Gateway. So our students will meet with one of our tutors. They'll also attend a Gateway class. This is in Elkhorn. So they're in the might look for a job at the Job Center, so it's really wonderful for the cross-referral. The Walworth County Volunteer Services, which is a department of the county, also sends a lot of volunteers our way, so that's a really great relationship that we have with them. And we're always trying to build community relationships, as Cheryl said, with various organizations in the community.
Great. Okay. And Stephen, how does Racine County Literacy Council work? Does that sound pretty similar to what you do?
It's basically all relevant. We do a lot of the grassroots marketing as well. We also work with a lot of the colleges. We have internships through the colleges through volunteers. They who volunteer for tutoring on a regular basis, whether that's Carthage, whether that's UW Parkside, or even Gateway. As of 2018, we really put a heavy marketing detail in the community. We changed our logo. and we revamped. So we wanted to get the message out to people in the community that we've actually changed our logo. We have a new look. We have some dashing colors. And so when we did that, we kind of empowered the community to make them aware of the services that we provide. Because every time you speak to someone, they always say, oh, I didn't know you did that. Or I didn't know you do that now. Or, you know, it's always changing, always evolving. And so we try to have, on top of us speaking about the product, the services that we provide in the community, have them be aware of the services so they can take it to the community as well. So they're an additional mouthpiece representing the Racine Literacy Council.
Great. So all of you mentioned that you work with English language learners. So I'm curious about whether you know if those ELL students are literate in their first language, and then they're just adding English on, or maybe they are actually learning to read and write at the same time that they're learning English. And also, if you can tell us a little bit about the language groups that you serve. I'm sure you serve a lot of Spanish speakers, but they probably come from different parts of the Spanish-speaking world. So maybe you can each share something about that. Let's start with Stephen this time.
I think primarily it's middle ground. Some of them do have, you know, their own language that they've kind of mastered and wanted to tack on some English. Very few that we have that speak no English at all. And it's a wide range. We have anywhere from people that speak Japanese, French, Farsi, Korean, Russian. I mean, every day we have someone different coming in with a different language. But for the most part, I think they are there for the conversation classes. We also have some individuals that have been, like I said, mid-ground, where they are highly technical. They have the degrees from other countries, but they just want the conversation classes in order to get acclimated to what's going on over here in the United States. So we have a large portion of those, too. That come in with the PhDs and the higher degrees. So it's an even keel.
What an interesting group of people you all get to work with. Lily, what about your population?
Well, they're very similar to what Steve is saying. We, for example, Kikkomen, the company that the manufacturing company Soy Sauce that I think a lot of us are familiar with is present in the town of Walworth in Walworth County. So one of our students is Japanese. Her husband was transferred to work as a professional at Kikkomen, and she is a professional herself, a stay-at-home mom currently. She wants to enhance her English, even though she does speak quite well, but she does need improvement. So as Steve mentioned, there are several professional-level people that just really want to improve and increase their opportunities for work in the future.
Mm-hmm. And Cheryl?
Yeah, very similar. So of the 80% of students who come to the Literacy Council to work on their English language skills, 80% of them are speaking Spanish as their first language. But as you mentioned, they come from many different countries. But that definitely is the predominant other for second language that we see. A variety of backgrounds as far as, you know, some of our students have had careers before they came to Kenosha, before they came to the United States, and so they might have went to college and studied to be a professional, but many others who had very limited education in their own language. Some students come and, like Stephen and Lily mentioned, just need a little extra practice before they feel confident enough to kind of jump out there on their own, maybe some conversation classes. But we also have many students who have never spoke English before. Mm-hmm. They stepped into the doors of the Literacy Council. And for many of the students, it's the only place where they practice English. So they come here, and that's the only opportunity they have in their days to speak English.
Mm-hmm. Marcia, I wonder if you can give us sort of the big picture about all of this. Do you have a sense of how the services and populations have changed over the time the councils have existed? It's been more than 50 years, yes?
Yeah, it definitely has. And Racine's been around a very long time. Kenosha's been around a very long time. Wisconsin Literacy is heading up on 35 years that we've been helping coordinate what goes on in the state. But I think what we see here in the southeastern part of the state of Wisconsin is in some ways very similar to the rest of the state, and other ways very different. Because we are a large urban area for the most part, we see some issues that relate to our school systems and the failure of many of our students to be able to function in the school systems as they exist or as they existed. And so we have much bigger pockets of folks who need literacy services here than we might have in far northwestern Wisconsin. They still have lots of people who need help, but they're just much further apart than they are here. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we'd think of as an advantage, at least right now, and I'd be curious what the three here would say, is now that there seem to be jobs, even though they're very low-paying jobs, many of the students that would come to us might be going after a job instead. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, they become so torn mm-hmm. between wanting to learn and needing to work. And I see that in lots of places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was very helpful. Just a reintroduction here. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of adult literacy councils of Racine-Walworth and Kenosha counties is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. And our guests today are Lily Barrett, who's the coordinator for the Walworth County Literacy Council, Cheryl Hernandez, the executive director of the Kenosha Literacy Council, Stephen Massenden, executive director of the Racine Literacy Council, and Marcia Conant, who's the Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy for 70 programs. So, Cheryl, I wanted to ask you, could you tell us a story of a student for whom the Literacy Council has made a significant life impact? Something around job or economics somehow.
Well, we have lots of them.
I know. It's hard to pick one.
It was very hard to choose one. But I settled on Susanna, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Susanna. She's a single mom who moved to Kenosha a few years ago from Mexico. And in Mexico, she went to university. She studied to be a lawyer. When she came here, she knew very little English, but because she has a young son, needed to work right away. To be able to support her family. And so she found a variety of different factory jobs. She worked a few different ones. But it was really interesting for us to be able to see her growth as a student. As she learned more English, she definitely became more confident. And she was able to put those skills to use at work right away. And so she quickly moved up the ranks wherever she was working at the time. And was able to kind of take on more supervisory roles, which was really great for her because she's making a little more money and having a little more responsibility. I think what was really fantastic was when she was able to enroll in the paralegal program at Carthage College because that's what she wants to do, right? That's where her passion is. She wants to work in the legal field because she was trained as a lawyer in Mexico. So she recently completed the paralegal program at Carthage, graduated from that program, and she now works at a local law firm. And so I think it's just the perfect example of, you know, what our programs give. She had all the tools. She did all of the work, but really we were able to give her the resources that she needed to be successful and to be a great mom and be able to support her family. And she now has a job, a career that she loves doing. So,
wow. Okay, that's a great story. Okay, Lily, let's hear one from you.
It is true. There are a lot of stories. The one that I chose is Jessica, who's also from Mexico. She has a bachelor's in science, and she has been working and is exiting that area as an office assistant. And when I matched her with a tutor, the tutor is a very meticulous person, so it worked out very well because Jessica wanted her emails edited to make sure that she was sending correct, proper language to her customers. And so Jessica would bring in non-confidential emails, and this is how the tutor and the student began working on improving her English. She has made tremendous progress in her language. It's been past a year that they've worked together, and she's also taking classes at Gateway Community College. She has had her high school college transcripts evaluated, so that she has a full American diploma that she can now apply for jobs with. She started job shadowing and volunteering at an imaging department at one of our local hospitals. And so now she's getting ready to enter the job market, and this is a mouthful in chemical pharma biology.
Ooh. Wow.
She's also become a permanent resident and passed her driver's license. So, yes, quite a success story, and this is, I think, what really keeps our tutors and the staff motivated to continue on.
Great. Wow. Okay. Stephen, can you tell us a story about the impact of literacy on students' job prospects?
Literacy at the Racine Literacy Council is very similar. There's a lot of success stories, but really it opens the door. The Racine Literacy Council's curriculum is a combination of goals that are set by the students as well as providing the necessary skills to create an educated workforce. The impact starts with the small successes that creates the student's self-awareness on what they can accomplish. Building self-esteem in alignment with personal goal setting starts the students on that path. By incorporating computer literacy skills and workforce skills such as resume writing, application writing, mock interviews, it prepares the students for job opportunities that they previously thought were out of their reach, as well as the promotional opportunities for students that are currently employed. One that really stands out is a former student of ours. Her name is Leticia Tovar. She came in as a student from South America, and it took her almost 5 years to go through the different programs at the Racine Literacy Council. One of the things that we have just begun to really pride ourselves on is with the implementation of the 509 HSED program, we basically have an internal feeder system. So what we have is from low literacy skills to basic literacy skills to pre-GED skills to HSED certification. Mm-hmm. It's all in-house from the beginning to the end. And Leticia actually got her GED and is now at the seminary trying to become a pastor.
Wow.
And part-time, she comes over to the Racine Literacy Council to tutor as well. So great timing.
Wow.
Great time.
Those are some amazing stories. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Listeners might now be interested in supporting the work of the Literacy Councils with these great stories you've just told. And there are many ways to do that, but I know one of them is economic. So first of all, Marcia, do the Literacy Councils get any support from local, state, or federal governments? What other sources of funding do they have?
Literacy Councils are all funded in many different ways. And Wisconsin Literacy has some money that they make available to our members either through materials or things like that from the Department of Children and Families. Stephen is one who is able to benefit from that. If you have learners who are TANF eligible, kind of food stamp worthy, if you mm-hmm. will, they qualify under this program. And so we've been able to provide them with lots of materials. We just bought them a whole new set of materials that they're going to use with their English language learners. We provide them with things that they can use in the office, materials and supplies. We've done the same thing with Kenosha and with Walworth. Whatever we can do to help make their jobs easier. Lily and I are working on a project right now on background checks. And Wisconsin Literacy is going to pick up some of the cost of helping check backgrounds of potential tutors, which, you know, we've all done to some extent, but not as much as we should. And if this goes well in Walworth, we're going to be able to expand that to other mm-hmm. programs around the state. So there are some federal monies that literacy programs in general can be a part of. They're hard to get. You generally need to be pretty big to qualify. There are some, a little bit of the state money, as I've talked about, but most of these people work really hard to raise money on their own.
So I'm giving you all an opportunity here to pitch an upcoming fundraising event. I just want to say right now that I have participated in a 5K run. One of my colleagues was on the winning team for the spelling bee for Kenosha Literacy Council does a spelling bee dinner thing every year. And also I've eaten, you've had some of the nights at or days at various restaurants where a certain percentage of the take will go to your Literacy Council. So those are things that I personally know about, but I bet you all have other things that are coming up that if people wanted to be supportive, they could help out with. So Lily, why don't you start this time?
We are very small. We do serve approximately 65 students per month. However, our staff is very limited in its resources. So we do receive money from United Way of Walworth County, local foundations, some grants. But we can always use private donations. So if you're willing and able to open your pockets. So.
What's the website for Walworth County Literacy
and
Council?
The website for our council is www.walworthcoliteracy.com. So it's walworthcoliteracy.com. Thank you.
I'll put that on the Facebook page in the comments as well. So, Stephen, do you have an upcoming fundraising event that you can share?
During the summer, the Racine Literacy Council usually has what's called a summer readathon. And what that is basically is it's like a walkathon. You get sponsors to sponsor you for, instead of walking X number of miles, you actually read X number of books. And you get them to sponsor you in that regard. So this goes on from, started the 17th of June and goes right into International Literacy Day, which I believe is the 7th this year.
I think so.
And then we have kind of a little get together and we award prizes based on whoever raised the most sponsorships.
And so if someone wanted to get in touch and find out more about helping out, raising funds or whatever, what is your website address?
It's racineliteracy.com.
Okay.
And there's plenty of drop downs there if you want to donate, if you want to become a volunteer, or if you want to see when the next event is up and coming.
Great. And Cheryl?
All right. So just like these guys have mentioned, individual contributions from community members and special events make up a huge, very important part of our budget and allow us to do the work that we do. Some cool things that we have going on this summer. We're trying some new kind of community awareness fun things. We're going to be part of the Tall Ships Festival that's happening in Kenosha the first weekend in August. So that'll be exciting. And then we're also helping out downtown Kenosha with their Simmons Island Beer Garden. So on Saturday, August 17th, you can find us there selling you beer. So you can come out and help us raise a little bit of money that day. But then we also put together every year for September, which is Literacy Month, just kind of a fun calendar of events. We try to do something different every week. Some of them are restaurant fundraisers, and there might be a paint night or something at the beer garden, or we try to do all kinds of fun different things. So definitely keep an eye out for events that are happening in September to help us raise awareness and money to support literacy during Literacy Awareness Month. You can find out about us. We're very active on social media, so find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook. That's the best way to kind of keep up with what's happening current event-wise, but you can also always check out our website, which is KenoshaLit.org, so KenoshaLit.org.
And I will put those on the Facebook page for this show as well. You are listening to WGTD HDFM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Adult Literacy Councils of Racine, Walworth, and Kenosha Counties is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I'm going to take a moment to indulge myself with a story about volunteering as a literacy tutor, because you all heard them mention that they rely on volunteer tutors, and some of you might be interested in doing this yourselves. So I want to just explain that part of my passion for this subject is that I was a literacy tutor when I lived in Chicago, And so I'm going to tell this story. If you'll indulge me for a minute, my own experience as an adult literacy tutor was back in the, 1999 to 2001. I volunteered for 3 years while I was in graduate school, and the student whom I most admired was a gentleman named T.C. Barnes. Mr. Barnes was born in Mississippi in 1935 and was the ninth child in his family. He only had an opportunity to attend elementary school a few months in his early years. He was needed to work in the fields. Think about this. His primary school years would have been during World War II. So imagine how much the work in the fields was needed because so many people had left for combat. So that was part of what was part of his story. And then eventually he moved north to Chicago as part of the Great Migration and worked in the steel mills, and then finally in a commercial bakery, the Butternut Bakery, which used to be located at Garfield and State. And he retired from that in 1999 after 30 years of working there. But retirement was a little bit of a struggle for him. Can you imagine for a moment what it would be like? What would you do if you had all kinds of free time, but you didn't know how to read? So because his wife worked at the University of Chicago Hospitals as a nurse's aide, she hooked him up with a program on the campus of the University of Chicago called the Blue Gargoyle, which does not exist anymore as a literacy program. But I was lucky enough to work with him for 2 years, and he was starting really like learning his letters. And by the end, he was able to actually write. And he was diagnosed with lung cancer about a year into our time together. But by the end, he had been able to compose poetry for his wife, for his daughter, and for his granddaughter that he was able to sort of leave as a legacy. And I was able to type up for him. We got to meet Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White, who sponsors literacy programs in Illinois. We went to Springfield and toured the Abraham Lincoln Museum and home. And he actually got to give a public speech for the first time in his life, was reading about his experience learning about Abraham Lincoln in Springfield. So in his case, this was not an economic situation. It was a way to sort of really enhance his life as a retiree and to leave a legacy for his family. And so I just wanted to share that with all of you listeners who might be thinking, should I be a literacy tutor? Shouldn't I? And I will just tell you that, you know, maybe not every relationship you form with a student will be like that one. I've been a teacher for over 30 years, and that's my absolute top favorite student of all time. But you may have a more profound effect than you realize, and actually your student may have more of an effect on you than you do on them. And I see everyone's nodding their heads over here, so you all feel this way too. I wonder if you have a story like that one, sort of about not necessarily economic, jobs, degrees, issues, but other ways in which learning literacy skills has really enhanced one of your students' lives. And Stephen, would you be willing to start with this one?
Sure. I think one of the important areas that when I came on to RLC is how to use RLC as a resource hub. Mm-hmm. I think all too many times there are students that have issues other than what we can tackle with the services at the Literacy Council. So how can we help our students point them in the right direction with those other community-based organizations or entities that we network with? For example, and this is a little off the beaten path, but we have three of our students that have their own businesses. They're actually entrepreneurs. And I was able to find a mini loan grant for minority businesses that was just so under the radar, they had no clue about it. So I reached out to them and provided them with this opportunity for their business. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was file an application and they could potentially could qualify for this money that would be kind of life-changing for their business. On the other hand, there are instances where just a regular student may need some information about maybe HUD that we have a direct contact with. And so how can we use our direct contact, put them in touch with the student, and help them along in that process? Those are some of the things that, you know, we need to be really aware of, other than just shrugging your shoulders and telling them, I don't know what to tell you. We're about more than that.
Okay. And Lily, do you have a story that you can tell about a student or about a service like Stephen just told us?
Yes, earlier on, Stephen mentioned the importance of providing, literacy help to increase a person's self-confidence and self-awareness. And I really saw that first time that I met with Samuel. This was early on in my work with the Literacy Council, and truly I had to fight tears and remain professional and as much detached as possible. He had such a beautiful story. He graduated from eighth grade in this country and told me that he felt that he was to blame that he didn't try hard enough. And perhaps he didn't. Perhaps there was a part of him that didn't. But I would imagine that there were a lot of people that let a 14-year-old down to get to that point, not finish school. So he when I met with him, he was working in a factory. And his English is fluent, although he never learned to read or write. So while in his mid-30s, with a 5-year-old daughter and a full-time job, he decided it was time. And he told me that he was embarrassed that he had this daughter that was learning to read, and he did not do that himself. So he set out several goals for himself. He wanted to teach his daughter to read. And this was such a perfect opportunity because they could read together. He could read children's books that would be challenging to her and to him, and they could enjoy their time together. So he learned to read after he was matched with his tutor. Good Night Moon and Green Eggs and Ham, that I think we all love. And he enjoyed, and of course his daughter did as well. He bought the books, and he said he wanted those books at home so that he could read those regularly to his daughter. He also wanted to advance in his job, and he was not able to do this, even though he had been asked many times by supervisors to, you know, he had shown that he showed promise. However, he could not read a computer, and therefore he would make excuses for staying where he was currently in his position. So he is reading to his daughter, and he also is getting ready to obtain his citizenship. So he's one of our many successes and someone dear to my heart.
Right. We're running very low on time, but Cheryl, if you could tell us a quick story, and then everyone will give us their info again for becoming a tutor.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I think I'll just skip the story and tell you that the biggest takeaway for me is always independence. So the students who share that they were able to do it on their own for the first time is always the biggest impact, right? They're mm-hmm. so proud of whether it's a teacher's conference or a job application that they were able to fill out by themselves or a birthday card that came in the mail that they were able to read by themselves. It always kind of comes back to that idea of independence and being able to be self-sufficient and do it on their own. And to be a part of helping them find that independence is a really great thing.
Great. So if you are at all interested in helping out as a literacy tutor, let's give the contact info one more time, all three of you, and then we'll sign off. So, Lily, how would they reach you?
For Walworth County Literacy Council, you can go to our website, which will be under construction soon. It's walworthcoliteracy.com. So walworthcoliteracy.com. Thank you.
And Cheryl?
We're at kenoshalit.org.
And Stephen?
We're at racineliteracy.com. You can go on, click on the tab for becoming a tutor, or you can come down to the office. We're open Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, great. So thank you again to our guests, Lily Barrett, Cheryl Hernandez, Stephen Musenden, and Marcia Connett. You're listening to WGTD HDFM, and this is Education Matters. Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Twilight Jazz Series at Anderson's Arts Center will be held at the soccer field just north of the center Tuesday evenings at dusk from June 25th through August 20th. The concert is free and food vendors are on site.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenaya Quinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Lenaya Quinta for Community Matters, and today our